Please take your Bibles and turn to both Psalm chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 4. We'll begin in Psalms, the 8th chapter, in just a moment. And we will return to 2 Peter chapter 3 next year. I just like saying that, next year. If you would, let's stand together. And if you're able to stand, we will read Psalm chapter 8, verses 1 and 4. Before moving over to the book of Galatians. And it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. May I say this, that when one believes in evolution, they deny verse 1. And then verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And if you're able to turn over to Galatians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 4 and 5. Galatians 4, 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this day. And as we gather together and the songs have been sung, Lord, we pray that now as we look into your word, it could be of encouragement to us. And Lord, we pray that each and every one that is here today, as they leave, may be able to say, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. God sent God. Amen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. My wife and I decided that we were going to give each other winter coats this year. Thank glory to God that Donna went out and bought her own. And then she said, we're going over to the mall. Oh, that's excitement. And I must admit, there was hardly anybody there. We went into the store in which Donna had seen a coat that she thought I would like, and we walked in, and I mean, I thought they must be closed, but they weren't. And we went over to the coats, and I picked one up, and I put it on, and I said, sold. Man, I was so glad. And then before we got to the cash register, Donna saw the sweater she's wearing today, and she said, what do you think? I said, it's going to look great on you. And she put it on, and it looks great on her. Man, I tell you what, I'm in a roll. Gifts. But there is an unspeakable gift. You don't work for it, because you don't work for a gift. But there is a gift. And God gave God to be that gift. Came across a couple of one-liners, Christmas one-liners. The first being, don't let anyone steal the Christ of Christmas from you. Let me repeat it. Don't let anyone steal the Christ of Christmas from you. In other words, don't let someone put a substitute in his place. Yes, it's nice about the lights, and I'll be honest with you, I like the auditorium decked up with the lights. I think it's great. It gives you something to look at if you get bored. Now, Bob Stafford said he expects a good sermon today, and Brother Bob, I'm trying. I like it. You know, you go through the subdivisions and you look at certain homes and you think, wow, that is really nice. And these LED lights, they give you a different glow and a different look. And I like the lights, but folks, there is something better, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, the trees are decorated, and we have a tree. I call it our Thanksgiving tree. It's in the front room, and all that's on it are blown glass ornaments. They're ornaments that we have collected on our journeys through 40-some years of marriage. From Hawaii and Alaska and North Carolina and Virginia and Minnesota and Oregon, et cetera, et cetera. And so that one always goes up first. Then we have the kids' tree. It's down in the basement. And that's the one that the kids get to touch. And, well, they've broken more than one ornament, but that's all right because it's their tree. And then in our family room, we have the big tree. And as I said, half the lights had stopped working, and so I had to cut off all the lights. And so I went over to a couple of stores and I was able to buy some of these new LEDs that if I keep them on for a month, it's only going to cost me a few cents. Do you think I believe that? And so we have the trees up and we have the decorations out, but there's something more important than the trees and the decorations. It's Jesus, our Savior. Don't let anybody replace Jesus with something else. The second one, and listen carefully, and maybe it's a little bit easier if you read it than if you hear it, but it's this, the birth supreme midst things ajar. Because outside of Christ, things are ajar. Because of sin in the world, we have issues and we have problems and there is sickness and there is death and there is things that go wrong because people are just sinful. But that birth, that precious birth, that unspeakable gift gives us something very special. The title of today's lesson is The Visit, Part 1. So that means next week it will be The Visit Part 2. Visit. Did you know the word visit is both a verb and a noun? As a verb, it means to go see, to comfort, to pay a call, to reside with for a short time. And then as a noun, it means a short visit or a short stay. Today we would like to talk about three visitors, messengers from God, who prepared the way for the great visitor, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, if you would, please, chapter 1, Luke chapter 1. The first one to receive a visit from an angel was Zacharias. He was the husband of Elizabeth, who was the cousin of Mary. And Luke 1:6 says, and they were both righteous before God. They were both righteous. It should be the desire of all of us to live a righteous and proper life. Zacharias and Elizabeth were childless. The Bible saying that she was barren. They had prayed for a child. And as of yet, they had not received one. But let's begin reading about Zacharias the priest in verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. We find that an angel appears, a visitor from the Lord, a messenger with a message. We find that this message is going to talk about a child who had become a mighty man of God, who had a divine purpose to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. May I say it's important to raise up our children in the knowledge of the Lord. It's important that we be a testimony to our grandchildren. And if you're so fortunate, great-grands. Let's begin reading now at verse 13. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. You wonder how long had they prayed for a child. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We find this visitor comes, and Zacharias is told, you have a special child on the way. This same chapter reveals the second angel. In fact, it's the angel Gabriel. And he is going to appear to Mary. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Mary was not divine. Mary was not sinless. Mary is not the queen of heaven, nor should you pray to her or believe that she makes intercession for you. Mary was simply a usable servant of the Lord Most High. Mary had many children, sons and daughters, but she was the one chosen to have the Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning at verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. May we all find favor with God. May all of us live a life that the Lord could say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. May we be used of the Lord. Verse 31, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Mary says, How can this be? I've never been with a man. How can I have a child? Well, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you shall conceive, and you shall bear a child. Don't ever believe that this was an easy thing for Mary. Don't ever believe that there wasn't consequences to her having a child and being pregnant before Joseph and her had become husband and wife. May I say this? It may be well the reason that when they get to Bethlehem, there's no place for her and Joseph. See, Joseph's family lived in Bethlehem. One of them should have been willing to let her and Joseph in. But Joseph has now married to a woman who was pregnant before they became married. She had a child they believed that was illegitimate. They didn't want her in their house. One opinion. But we find in verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." In other words, she said, "I'll do what you want me to do." And of course, the Lord knew that is what would happen because she was well favored. The third visitor, of course, is to Joseph. And if you would please turn to chapter 1 of the book of Matthew. We'll read verses 18 to 20. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away privily. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. We find that the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph as he's pondering what to do with this woman that he loved. We don't know if it was an arranged marriage. We don't know how long they had talked about being married, but she was espoused to Joseph. In other words, she was betrothed to him or pledged to him. She was engaged. And now she comes and she must tell him that she is pregnant. Now, mixed emotions. Mary is thinking, what is he going to say when I tell him I'm pregnant? But I'm not pregnant with some man, but I'm pregnant because God has made me pregnant. You can understand how she would have mixed emotions. The angel Gabriel told me that God was going to do this. You're Joseph. What are you thinking? Are you thinking that Mary is an unfaithful liar? Or that she's a lunatic? That you're pregnant and God made you pregnant? We find that Joseph had a decision to make. And while he thought on these things, praise God, the Lord comes. He sends the angel. Verse 21, the angel says, well, let's read the rest of verse 20. Appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How are we saved? Through Jesus. We do not work our way to heaven. Well, we're not good enough. It's Jesus that has come to save us from our sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. May I say this? It's a wonderful story if you believe. But there are many that do not believe. There are many who refuse to believe the story of one that came and was born to take away our sins. It is our job to tell them, though, that the story is true. That there is a Savior. And the reason he came was to save mankind. Sin had separated us from God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he came so that we might have eternal life. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son to redeem those that were under the law. What did the law show us? That we're sinners. The law shows that we are sinful and we need a Savior. And Jesus came not so that we give gifts at Christmas, but so that we might have a Savior. Shall we stand together? If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd love to be able to show you from the Word of God what must needs be done. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, I do hope that you can have the testimony, even as Zacharias and Elizabeth, that they were righteous. They lived a right and proper life. In a moment, we're going to sing a song of invitation, 401 Only Trust Him. You can come and pray at the altar by yourself. If you'd like someone to pray with you, let it be known and we'd be glad to do that. If you're unable to bend at the altar, you can sit on the front pew. Dear Heavenly Father, as the invitation is given, we ask that the Spirit would move, that you would touch hearts, that you would convict sinners. And Lord, it would all be done for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.